Today is Sunday morning, the beginning of the month of Kislev, 30th of November. We're learning Mishnah, and we are beginning here after many months and years of toil, beginning the last perek of Masechet Brachot, Bishah Tova Mutzlachat. So it's Perek Chi'i, Mishnah Aleph. Haroeh, Makom. שנעשו בו ניסים לישראל. אומר ברוך שעשה ניסים לאבותינו במקום הזה. מקום שנקרא ממנו עבודה זרה, אומר ברוך שעקר עבודה זרה מארצנו. Translation, הרואה ושיר, right? He who sees. מקום שנעשו בו ניסים, sees a place that were done. It's the passive, na'asu, were done. Bo, in it, in that place. Nisim, right? The plural of nes. Miracles li Yisrael, for Yisrael. Omer buch shasa nisim la'putenu b'makom hazeh. Blessed that did nisim for our forefathers b'makom hazeh.
The nif'al is, the nusach of the bracha doesn't reflect the first part. The first part is shena'asu, and then the bracha changes it to she'asa.
Right. The introduction could have said, he who sees a place that God did miracles for Israel, but it saves words. We know who the subject is.
Okay.
That word done nisim. And then, makom shenekra mimenu avodah zarah, a place that was uprooted from it, avodah zarah, right? The word akar means to uproot. Ne'akar is the passive, was uprooted from it, avodah zarah. Omer says, Baruch shakar avodah zarah mi'atsinu. Blessed that uprooted avodah zarah from our land. So a lot of questions to ask ourselves in this Mishnah. So instead of looking first at the questions that I wrote, why don't I ask you, what questions, let's think of at least five or six questions that we can think of in this Mishnah. Now just to remind you something I said in the past, the difference between a question and a difficulty, between a Shela and a Kusha. We're looking now both for Shelot and for Kushyot. A Shela is a question of information. What does it mean? How cold is it? Where are you going? Whereas a kusha, difficulty, is pointing out a contrast, a tension. Why are you going out? Behold, the class is just beginning. Why are you dressed in a bathing suit? Behold, it's 30 degrees below zero. Why do you have an umbrella? Behold, it's not raining. We show a difficulty, that is to say, a tension. As I used to say, as I always say in a Hamolei, which my sainted teacher always said, a kusha can always be formulated with the word hare, with the word behold. Right? Why are you going out? Behold, there's a reason to do it differently. Hare. So we can think of both Shelot and Kushot in this small Mishnah. So, is this Shelot or Kushot? What bothers you? What doesn't make sense?
Nisim.
Nisim.
Why Nisim? If something happened in this place, there's obviously a Nes. Why Nisim? Where the Nisim, where the many miracles. I'd say maybe just, you know, one miracle happened here, therefore I'm making the bracha.
So why is it in the plural, right? Why doesn't it say haroeh makom shenasa bo nes? Why does it say nasu bo nisim? That's a good question. By the way, that's such a good question, I have no answer for it. I was looking at a lot of different sources last night for an answer to that question. The only thing I can think of is that it's just a colloquial that means nes, but that uses the plural without any real meaning to it. I can't think of a better answer. It's a good question.
I'll go back to before. I don't know if this is legitimate, but just that, again, the verb in the nifal and then switching to the active part, the bracha makes it sound like blessed is the one who did the nisim. Blessed Baruch She'akar is the one who lifted out. It makes Hashem's role active as opposed to the Nifa, which makes it sound like it was almost passive. Just put that out there. So there's, I think that there's...
So you're saying, why is the introduction to the blessing formulated in the passive, whereas the bracha is in the active?
In the active.
I think you're... Okay. I mean, it's the subject, it's the focus of the statement. first one is the focus is the Nisim, not referring to God, but basically a place where
I hear.
And then the whole point of what it was blessing is really showing us it's not really that the nais is important, but it's really who performed the nais. It's really not important that we no longer have Avodah Zarah, but who actually caused this to happen. And
I hear.
Why you make it suddenly it's an active form in the Baruch.
Okay. More questions? More difficulties? Shoot.
I got one question. When it says Omer, does it mean you have to or you can't?
Right, that's a good question. As we've seen many times, the present participle sometimes functions as a command, as an imperative, and sometimes as permission. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Good question. Right.
General question. Malcolm was referring.
Right, like you mentioned earlier. How much place does place require? You know, if you see the general place, what does it mean, the specific general? How much do you have to really see the place? To see the millimeter? Yeah.
Today, not 100 years ago, see a picture.
Right, see a picture. And actually, the post came to discuss the question, what if you see the place through a window? Uh-huh. And in former days, you know, windows weren't as clear as they are today.
The glasses, yeah. Another question might be, is this subjective or objective? Can this be a subjective kind? Like, how does one define Ness? Even Avodah Zarah. There was a whole Masechet discussing what is Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, how do you define miracles? How do you define Avodah Zarah?
So is it subjective? Can the individual make that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll see actually that Shulchan Aruch brings down something relating to the definition of miracle.
This question is kind of like far-reaching. Haro, as someone who sees, well, what if you're blind? So this doesn't apply to you? And again, what if you...
The postgame actually discussed that. What if you're in a place that was done miracles, but you don't see it because you're blind?
You feel it? I don't know. You're at the ocean, you walk to the ocean, you're out, you
but
feel
you're
it,
there. You can't see
there.
Yeah.
You can sense it.
Right. What is it that you're not seeing?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Or is that the whole point of it? Because maybe the miracle was part of...
It was in the past, so...
True, but maybe, you know, when they when they saw certain things, they heard certain things. What if you're deaf? What if you're blind? You can still feel. Are you still obligated?
Very, very good question. It's a very good question. Right. The Mishnah could have said something different than what it says. It could have said, Hamagia lemakom shenasu bo nisim nisra. Someone arrives to a place without the word roeh. Mm-hmm. Then certainly if you were blind, you would say it. So you might say, since it didn't say hamagia, but it said haroeh, it's dafka riya, dafka seeing, therefore the blind person wouldn't say it, but you perhaps would say the opposite. It doesn't mean to exclude someone who doesn't see it, it just means that even if you haven't gotten there, but even if you're far away, but you see it, you can still say the bracha, but that perhaps doesn't exclude someone who's really there and doesn't see it. It's a good question.
And
the post can discuss that.
Would riya apply only to... We could see the place on videotape as well, videotape picture.
Said that earlier. Yeah. Yeah, so we have a number of questions here. Any other questions?
Steve, what was your comment on Omer?
Whether it's an obligation or a permission.
Yeah, so that's a good question. Goodness gracious, I should have had you guys last time when I was preparing the class, because I didn't think of all these questions. What about a question related to the last word of the Mishnah?
Okay, so
that was what I was thinking the answer was to the first question that you're asking.
Uh-huh.
What
question could you bring up from that word?
The Avodah Zarah, what didn't occur outside Israel? Technically, what's the boundaries of Israel?
Okay, but first of all, to get to the boundaries.
Of our land.
Right,
our land.
Does this apply outside of Israel?
Right, does the bracha apply only in Eretz Israel or not? Right?
Yeah.
I think that's really a serious question. To me, at least.
Yeah, we don't have any evidence of that.
And if it does apply only in Eretz Israel, why? Why only in Eretz Israel?
No. Uh-huh.
Because we have a mitzvah to uproot.
Perhaps there's a special mitzvah to uproot Avodah Zarah in Eretz Israel.
From Eretz Israel.
Would you still be technically obligated to try to uproot about places go to Zara outside Israel?
Good question.
Or is that just like basically
good question.
Can't be, because it says whoever lives outside Eretz Israel is like he's worshiping the Buddha.
Right. But by the way, in reference to what Paul just said and what you just said, Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Gloss on the Shulchan Aruch says that if there's a bracha, thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for being oker Avodah Zarah, then there should be a bracha for someone who does the activity of being oker Avodah Zarah. And he says, if you ever merit to be oker Avodah Zarah, then there should be a bracha. And he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddishanu Mitzvotav Tzivanu, Lakor Avodah Zarah. And that's not in the Gemara, but he assumes there must be such a bracha. And then of course, does it apply in Eretz Yisrael or even outside of Eretz Yisrael?
That's interesting, because I would think the tension of the Mishnah seems to be in the passive. It seems to be Makom Shenekra, it seems to be passive. In the Avodah Zarah, it was uprooted.
Okay, but the bracha again, the bracha is certainly active.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that background, we can go to some of the questions. Here we go. What is the specific connection of this Mishnah to the end of the previous chapter? Anyone have an answer to that?
So the last part of the Mishnah talks about the Kuthians.
About the Kuthi, right.
Who were found to be idol worshippers.
Right.
So that's the connection that I found, that there's some mention of idol worship in the first Mishnah, and then that's how the previous chapter ends.
Right. And that's probably the case. We have a chashash there in the previous Mishnah that the bracha of the Kuti was michuvenet, right, was focused on Avodah Zarah.
What is chashash?
A fear, an apprehension. Right. What about my next question, which is going to be harder since probably many of you don't have the Mishnah in front of you, the previous chapters of Mishnah. Right? What specific connection is there between this Mishnah and the end of chapter 7? Even I don't have the Mishnah in front of me.
Oh, yes, I do.
The end of chapter 7. The end of chapter 7.
Are you referring to the last Mishnah in chapter 7 or not necessarily?
I'm referring to the last at the end,
yeah. That's the last Mishnah.
This is actually something we discussed 5 minutes ago when we were, you brought it up, right?
Right.
שתי חברות שהיו אוכלות בבית אחד בזמן שמקצתן רואים אלו את אלו, רואי אלו מצטרפים לזימון ואם לאו, which means if they don't, רואים אלו את אלו מזמין לעצמם אלו מזמין לעצמם אין מברכים על היין עד שייתן לתוכו מים דברי בי אליעזר, החכמים אומרים מברכים so that משנה there is certainly a word or an idea that appears in Zayin Chet, in Perek Zayin Mishnah Chet, and appears in our Mishnah. What is it?
Seeing.
Seeing.
Uh-huh.
And it's about if they see each other. And then our Mishnah begins with the matter of seeing. So that's not a thematic connection, but it's a linguistic connection. And now you should ask yourselves, you should ask me, well, why would I think to look for a connection between Mishnah 1 of Perek 9 and the last Mishnah of Mishnah 7? I understand Mishnah 8, seeing the connection from Perek to Perek. But why Perek 7? Because why am I pointing this out? So I'm asking you now to ask me or ask yourselves, why should there be some type of connection to the end of Mishnah
7,
chapter 7, sorry, and our chapter, which is 9? And it has to do with the nature of chapter 8.
Chapter 8 is entirely machlokot ben Beit Hillel ben Beit Shammai.
Right.
So it takes somewhat of a detour.
Right. Right.
And then, okay.
Right. Chapter 8 doesn't belong here. Right?
Yeah.
This is Masechet Brachot.
And he's talking about ostensive matters of brachot. Everything was talking about brachot, filot and brachot. And suddenly chapter 8 has all this other stuff in it that's not necessarily related to brachot. Some of it, some of it isn't. Why is it there? So he said that chapter 8 is there because it connects to chapter 7 in that it begins with a machloket that's related back to chapter 7. Machloket concerning, what is it, kiddush, right? Suda. We're talking about the brachot and suda. So the chapter 8 begins with suda, but it goes on to other places. It's really a detour. So therefore, we really should expect perhaps a connection between chapter 7 and chapter 9, as we find, but also a connection in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Chapter 8 is there and it's not there, parenthetically there. So we see, as we always see, that there's a number of different levels of connection from piece A of material to piece B to piece C. Just wanted to point out that structure. Okay. So, just make sure Jeremy can see the Mishnah. So, put that aside.
It's so many Mishnayos between 7 and 9.
So? But 8, again, is in parentheses.
Yeah, but it's odd because the way they used to learn, as far as I understand, is by oral, like they knew by heart.
Uh-huh.
So one train of thought would trigger another train of thought,
mm-hmm.
and they would just, everything would come that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. It's amazing if they can go so many Mishnayos and then come back to the same.
Well, I'm thinking of a time when chapter 8 wasn't there. It might have been a stage when chapter 8 just wasn't there. And it went right from chapter 7 to chapter 9. Could be.
And they decided that they needed 8 because otherwise it didn't make sense to go from 7 to 9.
Right.
Right?
That's a good point.
And that's why they put it there.
You came late.
It's not like the Ham stories.
What's that?
Question 4.
Ham story.
Here's an easy question that might be hard because it's so easy. What is the full wording of the blessing mentioned in our Mishnah?
You have plural, right? Blessings.
Thank you. Blessings. In other words, are words missing from the blessings?
Yeah.
Which words?
Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam.
Right.
But it's assumed, obviously.
It's assumed.
Yeah.
It just says Bruch Shasan. It brings Bruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam.
Art scroll gives Shasan. Gives us three little dots in the English, so they give us a hint to the answer to your question.
Very good. Okay. And that's of course true in both brachot, both the bracha for Nisim and the bracha for Avodah Zarah. There's three dots. Yeah. Okay. The next question is really, really easy. Divide the Mishnah in two parts. I won't even take time for it. Right. One part is about Birkat Nisim, and the other is Birkat Avodah Zarah, and it's really. But we ask ourselves, is there any connection between them?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
There's places. Unlike the one, the upcoming Mishnah, where you're experiencing something here, there's a place where something historically significant occurred.
Right.
Be it a Nes, or Nisim, or something that had to do with the Bonesa.
Right. They're both brachot on the past,
right,
that happened in the present place but not the present time. And like you said, the next Mishnah we're talking about things that happened in the present time, but right now we're talking about things that happened in the present place but at a past time.
And then philosophically there may be a connection between Nisim and Avodah Zarah,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that Nisim may be attributed to Hashem, attributed to the one God, as opposed to attributed to a certain power.
Okay.
Fire, but there may be a thematic connection.
Anyone think of other connections between this matter of Avodah Zarah and this matter of Nisim?
I'd like to think is it's a nace to be able to uproot Avodah Zarah. Maybe it
uh-huh.
can be done through a nace.
Well, I would challenge you in the base of one word.
What's
the word Le Yisrael. Right, there's a difference between Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim on the one hand, and Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim Le Yisrael.
Oh, the tension between Yisrael and then the rest. The other.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking of the first, both
first
of these Mishnayot.
Second one is
right. Right. The Mishnah is about seeing a place that something was done in the past. That's what ties the two parts together. I think there might be a progression here. The first part of the Mishnah is about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha Vam Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And the second part is a movement to the universal, thinking of not just the good of Am Yisrael, but the purpose of Am Yisrael. The purpose of Am Yisrael is to, you know, to uproot Avodah Zarah.
Although the Avodah Zarah is from the perspective of Yisrael, I would think.
What do you mean?
Avodah Zarah, we're defining Avodah Zarah in terms of the, we're taking the Yisrael definition of Avodah Zarah, I would assume. It's from a Yisrael perspective.
Okay, it's a good question. Actually, I've been thinking about this since I've been looking at this Mishnah. How do we define the Avodah Zarah that's being discussed here? It's not clear. But still, there is, I think, a movement from the particular to the universal. Okay, let's go back to the questions. Question 6 was, what word is assumed but not written at the very beginning of the second part?
Haroeh.
Haroeh, right?
Right.
Haroeh makom. So the word makom is written both in the first part and the second part. The word haroeh is not written, it's assumed. 7. How could the Mishnah have been worded without the use of the above mentioned word at all, which is something I said 5 minutes ago, right? There could be a different verb. Could be, right, hamagia.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't be a matter of riyad, it would be a matter of a presence, and it might have halachic ramifications. There's something to the riyah. Something to the riyah. But like we said 5 minutes ago, perhaps there isn't something to the riyah. It just comes to add, even if you're not there, as long as you can see it. But not that riyah is an essential element of it, or perhaps riyah is an essential element. That is not clear. It's not clear. Yeah. So question 8 is what we just said, dealing with the possible halakhic ramifications of riyah. Question 9. What do you think is the halakhic ramification beyond the obvious of the presence of the phrase Le Yisrael in the Mishnah? Right, obviously, if it says Haroeh Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim Le Yisrael, it means Le Yisrael and not to Goyim. You see, a place where the miracle was done for a non-Jew, so it would seem that you don't say the bracha. But is there anything beyond that in this phrase, the Yisrael?
Are we talking about Yisrael in the plural or the singular?
Ah, very good.
You just kind of gave me that idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So what do you think?
I was thinking at first in the plural.
Yeah. It could be, Steve's right, it could be that that's the implication of the word Yisrael. Not just to Yisrael as a group.
Or both?
In other words, could it be one of the Shvatim as opposed to...
So how big, and what part of Yisrael? Yeah. You're saying of an individual.
Right. Could have been done to an individual.
Right, so that's a question that the Gemara is going to deal with. But it could be, it's certainly not clear, but it could be that the implication of the word Yisrael is to Yisrael as a collective.
Yeah.
And not to Yisrael as an individual.
At what point did Eretz Yisrael become Yisrael?
Well, here we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael as a land, we're talking Yisrael as a people.
Yeah. It's but the Talmud doesn't say, it says Haaretz. So it could not be speaking about Israel, the nation.
Ashna subo nisim. Say it again.
Israel to the land. It couldn't be the land.
I don't think it could be the land.
Because it didn't. Israel was not a name for the land.
It would be called Eretz Israel if we meant the land. But what would you mean that nasubo nisim le Eretz Israel? That's strange. We don't talk about Nisim being done to Eretz Yisrael. We talk about Nisim being done in Eretz Yisrael.
Grapes coming out, you know, the big grapes. And
That's not a nes that's done to Eretz Yisrael. It's done in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Okay.
Was it always just a side point?
What do you think might be the rationale for including the condition of the Yisrael? Assuming that it does mean the collective of Am Yisrael, why would we limit the bracha to a collective nes as opposed to an individual nes?
Because believability, there was a collective witnessing.
Right, that certainly could be.
Right.
You open up the door to all different types of subjective phenomena if you say that we should all say a bracha in any place that a nes was done for an Yisrael. For an individual, we might have a long line of people coming up to us and telling us a nes was done for me here and there, and ein ledavar sof, right? There's no limit to the matter. Perhaps it's just a matter of quantifying and defining. Could be.
Or, continuing with that theme, that the only significance is the collective. The individual doesn't have significance in the same way.
Actually, that's actually, I think, a good point. It does not have to be the same point. Perhaps it's a theological point that a nes done for an individual really doesn't have any importance to Am Yisrael. What's important is what's done for Am Yisrael as a collective.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
Like not just the believability or the quantifiability, but actually theologically, essentially, that's really what we're blessing for, is when a Kodesh Baruch Hu does nisim for Am Yisrael. That's certainly possible. Question 11. Do you know where in the Torah we find someone blessing God for miracles that are done for Yisrael? It's a pasuk there.
Is it with Yitro?
Okay.
Yitro comes out too.
Right.
Meet B'nai Yisrael. He blesses.
And he is not a Yisrael.
He hears from Moshe. Right. He hears from Moshe and blesses.
And blesses.
Right. The miracles
Baruch
of God.
Baruch Hashem itzil, Asher itzil et Amo Yisrael.
Yeah.
Get the rest of the verse.
And he's not a Yisraeli.
Right. So here, right, we learn a bracha. Right. If we learn the bracha from Yisrael, we learn it from a non-Jew. And you just answer the next question, which is, how does the above-mentioned Torah source nevertheless differ from what we find here in the Mishnah? Because there in the Torah source, it's a non-Jew saying the blessing.
Right.
But it's also something else. Yitro wasn't in the Makom, right?
Oh, that's right.
He was at Mount Sinai, right. And at least B'fashtut was before the revelation. So he wasn't blessing the place of revelation. It didn't happen yet.
Right.
He's talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's Shir Tzil, who saved Am Yisrael mitachat zivot Mitzrayim, from the hand of the suffering of Egypt, and he wasn't in Egypt.
Yeah.
So it turns out to be not such a good source for our Mishnah. It's nice, but it's not.
Do we have other sources in Nevi'im or Ketuvim?
Somewhere, blesses God for a miracle done in this place. Let's think.
What did you ask?
If we have any other sources for this, in Nevi'im or the prophets?
Eliyahu at Har HaKarmel. Does Eliyahu bless the Kodesh Baruch Hu after the fire comes down from heaven? I don't remember the exact wording. Don't know.
When the sun stood still in Givon.
Is there a bracha there? I don't remember. Okay. Next, 13. Why is it at all important and noteworthy that Nekra Avodah Zarah? Right, so what?
I missed the what's in Nekra?
Uprooted.
Because there's a mitzvah.
Okay, there's a mitzvah. But right, more than that, I just mentioned 5 minutes ago that is actually the whole essence of Am Yisrael, in a certain sense.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. It's the whole universal power and mission of Am Yisrael. Nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachot adama, to uproot Avodah Zarah and bring the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the world.
And again, the bracha stresses me'atzeinu, which is we mentioned earlier.
All right, we have to ask the question.
What's the source for that?
What's the source for what?
For what you're just talking about, for uprooting idolatry. You know, that's the... that's the mission.
Dream.
That's the mission of...
Well, in the limited sense of a mitzvah, Sefer Dvarim, it says you should come into land, destroy their altars, and pull down their pillars, and burn in fire their high places, etc., etc., etc. It's pretty explicit. When we're talking about the mission of Am Yisrael as the purveyor of monotheism to the world,
on a pshat level, could you tie it to Avraham? Certainly, the
I'm thinking where.
And I'm sure it's hard to tie it up, but the Midrashim
do.
Actually, it's pretty good that Paul called me on that.
Yeah.
Because it could be that it's not explicit at all.
Only in the Midrashic tradition.
Because in Sdom Vamora,
yeah,
it says that the purpose of Avraham Avinu's mission is to bring Derech Hashem Lasot Tzedakah Mishpat. Right? Not to bring knowledge of God, but to bring rather... knowledge of God's way, lasot tzedakah mishpat, putting much more emphasis on the doing than on the believing.
Right. Seems to be a later development.
And really, there's a whole machloket among the commentators. To what degree does the Torah see Am Yisrael's mission as bringing monotheism to the world, or is it simply a matter of bringing Derech Hashem? Which might not necessarily mean bringing monotheism. Which brings us to the question, by the way, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which we're going to get to in another few minutes. Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach begin with the Sur of Avodah Zorah, but there's no Chiyuv of Avodat Hashem. Right? B'nei Noach are not commanded to worship God. They're only commanded not to worship idolatry. So... what happens then if I kind of scale down my claim and say the purpose of Am Yisrael, it's not to bring monotheism to the world, but it is perhaps to uproot idolatry. The assumption being that as long as idolatry, there cannot be stuck on mishpat. Because idolatry is based upon conflict between different forces. Forces that are blind to any type of moral values. Yeah, gets into interesting stuff.
Yeah.
As we'll see in the Gemara and in the Halakha, this Mishnah brings us to a lot of interesting theological issues.
And then the Midrashic tradition is very rich with Avraham in terms of the mission of uprooting Avodah Zarah in terms of the idols and everything, but that's not it.
Uprooting Avodah Zarah and replacing it with a monotheistic belief.
So certainly among Chazal it seems...
Right, let's just remember the verse in the introduction to the Ten Commandments. Vatem tiuli mamlechet kohenim v'goy kadosh. Am Yisrael should be a mamlechet kohenim, nation of priests, and the meaning of priesthood is to serve the flock, to minister to the flock. So Am Yisrael is supposed to do something for the rest of the world, as Yeshayahu says to be la'or goyim, a light to the nations. But how far, or what is the mission of that light?
And then that's in tension with this last bracha, because it's only miatzenu. It's stressing the nationalistic element,
right,
and not the universal,
right? Right. If that word is dafka,
yeah,
then what I said about this matter of being okay with Azara as hinting to the universalistic mission of Am Yisrael, I would be wrong. Because it says Artzeinu, it might just be a nationalistic particular interest of Am Yisrael to get rid of Avodah Zarah Me'artzeinu, because Avodah Zarah is a snare and it's a temptation to us in our land.
Yeah. And then you
but who? We don't really care if they're doing it. It just bothers us.
You might further the question of Artzeinu about does it apply when Am Yisrael is in exile or not in Babel.
We'll see that in the Gemara. So let me just think, should we summarize? There's a lot of questions here.
Another question, if possible. When he says, we're talking about Jews in the land of Israel, and not Goyim having to be living there?
Very good. Very good question, right?
I cheated a little bit. I looked ahead.
Right. Do we say this bracha when we've uprooted Avodah Zarah from Jews or from non-Jews? Does it matter?
Yeah, because there used to be a lot of Avodah Zarah among Jews. I don't know at this point in time.
No, it's a very good question. It's discussed a little bit in the Poskim.
That's what all of Malachim are about, basically.
Yeah.
The kings practicing idolatry.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the fellow who went into one of these Getchka shops and with an axe and got them all, smashed them all up?
Getchkas?
What is this? What is Getchkas?
Getchkas Avodah Zarah. Getchkas and Avodah Zarah, I think, in Yiddish.
Getchkas?
I don't know.
Do
it to
me.
What was this? No? It was
Amma
Mavino.
Oh.
Okay. 14. What does one learn from the wording of the blessing about Avodah Zarah concerning the conditions under which it is to be said? Hey, we did it. I mean, it seems to be in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's, I think, what I meant by that question.
Well, it stresses in Devarim, Sefer Devarim, when you come into the land smashing their idols, just operating their pillars.
Right.
And then it continues in Sefer Yoshua. That's the entire mission.
That's limited to Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's see the sources. Let's see the Gemara. Yeah. Okay. Says the Gemara in Perek Haruah, Perek Shi'i, Daf Nun Dal Demud Aleph, in the brackets, Mana Hanei Mile. Right? That's an Aramaic phrase. It's very common. It's not a kusha. It's simply a shela. Mana means minayin, from where, Hanei, these. Mile is milim, from where are these words? What's the source of these words? And it's referring specifically to the first part of the Mishnah, this bracha over Nisim. What's the source? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Kra, V'yoma Yitro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Yitzil V'kulei, which is the pasuk that Paul mentioned, which is pretty clear. And if you want, you can see that the rest of the verse is brought in Rav Steintotz's translation. How many lines down? It's about 5 lines down from the beginning of that paragraph. He says, Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Paro, Asher Yitzil Et Ha'am Mitachat Yad Mitzrayim. So Yitro says, Baruch Hashem, who saved you from the hand of Mitzrayim, the hand of Paro, who saved the people from the hand of Mitzrayim. That's the whole verse. From Shmot 18. That's the first part of the Gemara. Just a question of information. And says the Gemara now, Anisa de Rabbi Mivarchinan, Anisa de Yachid lo Mivarchinan. And it would be hard for me to figure out how to read that had I not had Rav Steinsaltz, put a question mark there. It's a question. And the translation of the question is Anisa. The word Anisa is actually 3 words. It has an Aleph the beginning, an Aleph at the end, and Nes in the middle. So in the middle is Nes, it means Nes, right? But the Aleph at the beginning in Aramaic means, anyone remember?
Two.
Pretty close. It could be two. Two on concerning.
It's a preposition.
Right. Right. And the aleph at the end is the. Yeah. So it means concerning the nace du rabim mivarchinan, concerning the nace of the rabim of the collective, mivarchinan, we say a blessing, anisa di yachid, on the blessing, on the nace of yachid, of the individual, lo mivarchinan, we don't say a blessing.
question mark. You have to figure out where this question is coming from. There's something in the Mishnah that leads the Gemara to assume that the Mishnah is telling us that we only say a bracha on the Nes of Rabim. And then the Gemara says, could that be that we only say a bracha on the Nes of Rabim? What about the Nes of Yachid? So what is it in the Mishnah that gives the Gemara the impression that we only say a bracha on the Nes of the Rabim? What one word?
Le Yisrael.
Le Yisrael. And it takes that word to mean the Yisrael in the sense of the collective of Yisrael. Which means that it's only telling us, the Mishnah is only telling us, say a bracha if you come to a place where Nes was done for all of Yisrael. But if you come to a place where Nes was done only for an individual, lo mevarchinan. And says the Gemara, how could that be? The reason the Gemara says how could that be is because it then goes on to bring sources that show that we do say a bracha for the Nes of Yechid. But that contradicts the Mishnah, which seems limited to the Nes of the Rabim.
Just quickly, maybe I'm just reading this incorrectly, but also can we look at the brachot that it mentions and see if the brachot talk about things that were done in the plural, and also when they're talking about Avodah Zarah Me'artzenu, it's been removed from our way, or maybe I'm just reading.
So what you said about Avotenu, you're certainly right.
Right.
It's in the plural. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So it just goes to reinforce the Gemara's understanding that we're talking about Rabim. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah? Yeah? Good. So let's go on in the Gemara. And again, I'm telling you that the Gemara goes on with the Kusha. It deepens the Kusha by bringing sources that show that we do say a bracha for Nes of Yechid. So why didn't the Mishnah say that? Why did the Mishnah seem to exclude the possibility of the Nes of Yechid? Veha, and behold, Ahu Gavra, Dahava Ka'azel, Avar Yemina, Nafal Ale Arya, Itaved Le Nisa, Vitzal Mine. So, what that means is, and I just want you to know that you can always figure out the Aramaic by reading Rav Steinsaltz's Hebrew translation. That's why I brought it through here, to make it easier, but now we'll just translate it together. So I'll read it again. The last word of the third line, V'ha ha-hu gavra, and behold that man. Ha-hu gavra means that man. Gavra is man, like Yether. Okay? Dehava ka'azel, that was walking. Hava is haya, and azel is holech. The word ka doesn't mean anything.
Maybe it's the ing.
No.
Okay.
Right? So, behold that man that was walking the avar yamina. He was walking on the right bank. The avar means the ever, the side, right? Yamina is yamin, the right bank. And he's walking on the right bank of the river Prat, which we call the Euphrates, right? He's in downtown Baghdad.
Is that based on this context? This is from Bavel and...
Yeah.
That. It's not in the... Right?
When they don't say the name of the river, yeah. They mean the big river.
Right.
Nafal alei Arya, fell upon him an Arya, an Arya. He got attacked by a lion while he was strolling on the promenade on the right side of the Euphrates.
Scary. Wasn't a guy named Arya?
No, he wasn't.
What would a lion be doing in the middle, midtown?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. That's a miraculous story.
The point.
Okay.
What happens to somebody who tries to bag their dad?
It aved la nisa. The word it aved has in it, you can see the letters ayin, vet, dalet, which means avad, which means asa. And this is the passive, na'asa, means was done, lay to him, anisa, anes. V'itzal minei, itzal, you can see that it has two letters at the end, you recognize, sadilamid, the word nitzo, saved, and was saved, minei, and he was saved from it. So altogether it says, this man was walking on the banks of the Euphrates River, he was attacked by a lion, he was saved. Ata lekame derava. The word ata is a common...
Came.
Lekame. Lifme. He came before. Derava. He came before Rava. He went to the Rava. He said, Rabbi, I was attacked by a lion and I've been saved. What should I do? Va'amarlin, he said to him, and the rabbi, by the name of Rava, said to the man who was attacked by the lion, he said, Kol emat dematet lehatam bereich baruch shasalimes b'makom hazeh. Translation, Kol emat, all when, right, which means whenever, dematet. De means she. Matet means to arrive. Whenever you arrive lahatam, what does hatam mean?
Sham.
Sham. Whenever you arrive, then, as whenever you're walking, you come to the same place where the lion attacked and you were saved, then what you should do is bereich. Baruch shasalimes b'makom hazeh. You should say the blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam. Shasalimes b'makom hazeh livriyut. So says the Gemara, look, Rava said there's a bracha for a nes prati, for an individual nes. Why did our Mishnah limit it to the nes of Rabim? This is all part of the Kusha. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Kusha goes on. Umar bereid the Ravina. Mar bereid the Ravina is someone's name. Mar, who is the son of Ravina. Have ka'azel bifakta de arvot utsah halamaya. Hava ka'azel, he was walking. Befakta da aravot. Fakta da aravot is a place in the desert that doesn't have a lot of water. It's just a place name. Utsach halamaya, and he was thirsty for water. In other words, he was going to die of thirst. He was walking through the desert, and there was no one selling water. Itaved la nisa was done from a nes. Ivri lay ena demaya. Ivri means nivra, was created. One language of right, nivra, you see the bet race that was created, lay, was created for him, ena demaya, a ma'ayan, right, an ena is like a ma'ayan, the same letters, a spring demaya, a spring of water, the ishti, the shata, and he drank. So he's walking in the desert, has no water, he's about to die of thirst. Suddenly he sees an oasis, and he drinks.
Two.
The two, and secondly, furthermore, two means furthermore. Zimna chada, zimna means man, and chada means ahad, means one time. Have kazel beristaka. He was walking in a place called Ristaka.
A market.
Right. How did you know?
I'm reading the translation.
Right.
Cheating.
He's working in the market. De Machoza. Machoza, the name of the city. He's working in the market of Machoza. Mm-hmm. Unfal alei gamla peritza. And fell upon him a crazy camel. In other words, the camel suddenly went haywire and started attacking people. It's like a car that gets out of control. Mm-hmm. It paraka le ashita. Oh, I suddenly forgot what does ashita mean.
A kotel? Kotel.
Oh, right. A hole came in the wall. In other words, he was looking for a place to hide, and he found a hole in the wall to hide from the crazy camel. Al gava. He went into it. He went into the hole in the wall. When he comes to Aravot, when he comes back to this place next time, Barich, Baruch Shasali Nes Barvo Ba'aravot Uvagamal. He should say the blessing, blessed he who did for me a nes in the place of Aravot, the place that's called Aravot, about the camel. Right? Kimata Laristaka de Machoza, and when he comes to this place that's called the Shuk, right, the market of Mahoza, he says that blessing Bruch Shashalines Begamal Uvaravot. That's the end of the Gemara's Kusha. All this is brought to prove to you that we do say a blessing for a Nes de Yachid. So why did the Mishnah seem to exclude the possibility of saying a Nes, a Bracha for a Nes de Yachid, and only said Rabim?
So the Gemara's answer is, Amri Anisa Derabim Kule Alma Mechai Velevruche. Anisa Diachid Ihu Chayev Levaruche. Translation, Anisa on Anis, Derabim of the Rabim, Kule Alma, the whole world, Mechai Velevruche, is obligated to say a blessing. Anisa Diachid on a Nase of the Yachid, Ihu, he himself, is obligated to say the blessing on the person that it happened to. In other words, our Mishnah is telling us about obligations on Am Yisrael. And the obligation on Am Yisrael is only to say a blessing for a Nase of Rabim. There is no obligation on Am Yisrael to say a blessing for a Yachid, and that's true. The fact that there are blessings for Yachid doesn't contradict the fact that the Mishnah says don't say a blessing for Yachid, because the Mishnah is talking about obligations on all of Am Yisrael. The blessing for Yachid is only on the person that it happened to. If I came to a place that a miracle was done for Eric, I don't say a blessing.
But I do.
But he does. So that's the conclusion. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, I think. You say a blessing when you come to a place that a miracle is done for all of Am Yisrael. If you come to a place that a miracle is done for Yachid, you only say the blessing if you are that Yachid. Makes perfect sense. Okay.
A nace by nature is something against nature?
We're going to talk about that, what actually we mean by nace. Right, yeah. Okay, let's go on to another source, which is another page of Gemara. And this is Nun Zayin Amud Bet. In the brackets, Makom Shenekra Mimenu Avodah Zarah. Now skipping to the subject of Avodah Zarah, the second subject in the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braita. Haro'eh Merkulis Omer, someone who sees Merkulis. Merkulis was the name of an idol that was common in the time of the Talmud. It reminds a little bit of Mercury. I don't know if there's any connection. And the Gemara says that the way that people used to worship this idol is by throwing stones at it. And there would be big piles of stones in front of the idol. Baruch Shnatan Orech Apayim Lovrei Ritzono. So if you see this idol, then you say a blessing. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shnatan Orech Apayim Lovrei Ritzono. Which means, blessed are you, God, who has patience, Orech Apayim, length of face. God has patience for those who transgress His will. I just want to think about it for a second. It's a fantastic bracha. It's like we're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for not doing a miracle. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu can destroy this idol at once. We say, thank you God for not destroying the idol, for having patience, for giving them a chance to repent, not zapping them before they, immediately.
I think more, rather than thanking him for not doing the nest, I think it's more us being in awe of his mercy. It's
okay.
More what it is.
Okay. Us being in awe of his mercy. But wouldn't it be even greater if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have mercy and would just zap the idol?
But and then what's the mitzvah that we would have of uprooting idolatry if a Kodesh Baruch Hu would zap it?
Well, and if okay. He didn't have mercy, we'd be in trouble too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
yeah.
For certain. Right.
And which is, the bigger issue, I think, even than allowing us that mitzvah.
Right. We'd all be in trouble. Yeah. Ovdei Avodah Zarah would be in trouble.
Right.
Am Yisrael would be in trouble. Right, so actually, we're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for free will.
Right.
We're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu
for not intervening. Yeah.
Right? We're thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu for the fact that he allows the course of nature to play itself out, allows human history to occur on the level, not of Nes, but on the level of Teva. That's an amazing thought. There's a Gemara in Masechet Yoma.
Oh, that's the thematic connection. Just occurred to me, maybe. Before we were talking about Nes, and now we're kind of sharpening the...
It's the contrast.
The contrast.
Right. Which is a reminder of a famous Gemara in Masechet Yoma that points out that the only reason in Shemona Esrei that we can say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vonara, that we can say these praises is because Moshe said in Sefer Dvarim Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vonara. But then the Gemara points out that there were prophets that didn't say the whole formula. Yirmiyahu and Daniel, it subtracted from the formula. Yirmiyahu said Hakel Hagadol Hagibor, but didn't say Hanora. And Daniel said Hakel Hagadol, but didn't say Hagibor and didn't say Hanora. And the Gemara asks, well, how could those two prophets, Yirmiyahu and Daniel, subtract from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's praise? And the answer the Gemara gives is because in their day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't so great, because he was allowing Avodah Zarah to exist. How could you praise God for being so great when he's not so great? He seems to be have his hands tied behind his back. So then the Gemara says, ah, if Yirmiyahu subtracted from the praises that Moshe attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Daniel subtracted from those praises also because they were simply reflecting the reality they live in, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't showing himself, then how could we, meaning the men of the Great Assembly, Anshei Knesset Gedolah, how could we institute a prayer that says, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaRa, behold, in our day also, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not exhibiting his greatness? That's the question. The Gemara's answer is, ah, that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's greatness. He is great in his ability to hold himself back from punishing. He is awesome in his ability not to intervene. That's what the Gemara says.
That's great for our times, but what about that? That then casts the question back at Yirmiyahu.
Okay, so okay, fine. But things change. But this time, finish the thought. So what it has us saying in the Shemona Esrei, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora, is that we are basically praising and thanking and glorifying God for his ability to give us the world in the framework of natural order. We're thanking him for not intervening. We're thanking him. We're saying that's really great. You're able to hold yourself back and not intervene like a parent who sees his kids making bad choices but is able to hold himself back and not intervene because he understands it's in the best interest of the child to make mistakes and pick himself up by his bootstraps. So that's the same thing we have right here. Right? This bracha is a Kodesh Baruch Hu holding himself back, and we're saying thank you for letting us live this world on our own terms.
The second part of that bracha, though, goes on to talk about the chesed of Hashem. Meviko elif nevenim man shemo.
In the future.
In the future. Oh, okay, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. Okay, that I think, this is very interesting stuff. So every time you pass by Mercules, we can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not zapping them. And does that apply today? Is something we'll get to in another few minutes. Then it says, in the middle of a brighter, this is the middle of a brighter, and the brighter says, Makom shnegra mimino avodat kochavim omer. Right, a place. It means you see a place that was uprooted from avodat kochavim, you say, Baruch shakar avodah zara miyartzinu. Just like our Mishnah. But then the bracha goes on according to this brighter. It's not just period. Baruch shakar avodah zara miyartzinu goes on. וכשם שנעקרה ממקום הזה, כן תעקר מכל מקומות ישראל.
And just like it was uprooted from this place, so shall it be uprooted from all the places of Yisrael. Right, just like the bracha said Me'artzenu, from our land, we're still talking about our land, or the place of Yisrael. The Heshev Lev Ovdehem Lovdecha. And return the hearts of those who worship them to your worship. In other words, we're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu not just to brood over the Zara, which is getting rid of a bad, but actually to do a positive, to return their hearts to the worship of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You see the two elements here, the negative and the positive.
Yeah.
And then the Brayta goes on. U'bechutz la'aretz ein tzarich lomar. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say, they shave lev ovdehem ovdecha. You don't say the words and return their heart, the hearts of those who worship them, to your worship. Vipanesha ruba goyim. Because most of them are goyim. We have to figure out what it's talking about here. We don't say this bracha. I take it back. Notice that the bracha has two parts. Three parts, I'm sorry. We thank God for being oker avodah zarah, and then we ask God to be oker more avodah zarah, and then we ask God to return their hearts to His worship. So it's two negatives and a positive. Two negatives, oker avodah zarah, more oker avodah zarah, and then a positive, and don't just leave it as them worshiping nothing, but actually bring them back to your worship. So says the second part of the Braita, that in Chutz La'aretz, we don't say the third element of the bracha, but we do say the first two elements. Right? So outside of Eretz Yisrael, we do say a bracha for Oker Avodah Zarah, and we do add to it, and please be Oker more Avodah Zarah, but we don't add the third element of return their hearts to your worship.
That you mentioned earlier that the Shivat Mitzvot B'nei Noach, it's to not worship idols, but it's not to worship Hashem. That ties in nicely with this.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Exactly, wanted to point that out. So let's understand what's the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Well, explain to us why. It says, Mipanesha ruba goyim. Because in Chutz La'aretz, most of the people are goyim. Which means the assumption is in Eretz Yisrael, most of the people are Yehudim. So what does that mean? It means that the three-pronged bracha of thanks being oker avodah zarah, please be oker more avodah zarah, and third, please return their hearts to your worship, that's only in a place where ruba Yisrael, where most people are Yisrael, and we're assuming that's the case in Eretz Yisrael. It was like that in a certain historical period. So, whereas in a place where it's ruba goyim, we do thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being Oker Avodah Zarah. We do ask Him to be Oker more Avodah Zarah, but we don't ask Him to return their hearts to His worship. So just like Eric said, this brings us to the Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach. If we're talking about a place that it's mostly Jews, so we go all the way. Thanks God for rooting Avodah Zarah, please uproot more Avodah Zarah, and please return them to your worship. In a place that it's Ruba Goyim, we want to get rid of Avodah Zarah, so we say, thanks for being uprooting Avodah Zarah, please uproot more Avodah Zarah, but we don't go further and say, please return them to your worship, because if they're goyim, there's no need for that, because in the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, there's only Isur Avodah Zarah, but there's no mitzvah of Avodat Hashem. We have no need and no desire that non-Jews worship God, but just that they don't worship Avodah Zarah. But then the Brayta goes on even another step, and the Brayta says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af bechutz la'aretz tzarich lomar kein. Even outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say that, which means you have to say the third part of the bracha. Why? Mipnei shatidin litgayer. Because in the future, they will convert. Shenemar, and he brings the verse from the prophets, Az yapoch elamim safabrua. Then the language of the nations will be turned into a safabrua, will be turned into a clear language, meaning that they will worship God. So there's a serious machloket there between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar as to what the vision and what the mission of Am Yisrael is. And according to the Tanakhama, the mission is to get rid of Avodah Zarah. according to Rabban Shimon ben Elazar, the mission goes one step further, actually bring everyone to worship of the one true God. And that mission is so strong that we read it, we read it into the bracha. I'm just thinking, according to this, it would have been nice if we'd see a machloket in the Shev Mitzvot B'nai Noach,
right.
That there would be an opinion that says that the Avodah Zarah actually have to worship God, but there is no opinion, as far as I know, that says that. Yes, yeah, so anyway, this is pretty fascinating. What is the ultimate mission of Am Yisrael? Is it simply to uproot Avodah Zarah, or is it actually one step further to bring all of the nations to knowledge of God, and the language that's used for that is pretty strong, Lehit Gayer.
Can we say that the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach are derived from these sources that we have, as opposed to the other way around? In other words, as opposed to saying we have the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, and then we try to fit this in with that, as opposed to where these are, this material...
I certainly couldn't say.
Okay.
I certainly don't know. I don't know. Okay. Okay, so this is fascinating stuff. What we should do is see the halakha. Right? So, some of the halakha is clear, because there was no machlokot, but some of it did have machlokot, so I brought some sources from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch to clear up some of the issues, and the next source is from the Mishnah Torah. And the Mishnah Torah in Sefer Ahava, Hilchot Brachot, Perek Yud, Halacha Tet, in the brackets. Harue Makom, Shovdin Bo Akum, Nivarech Baruch Ata Shem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shunatan Orech Apayim Lovrei Ritzono. He who sees a place that they're worshipping there, stars in the heavens, he says the blessing. Blessed art you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives patient grace to those who transgress his will. Makom shenekra mimenu akum, you come to a place, if you see a place that was uprooted from it, Avodah Zarah, im b'Eretz Yisrael hu, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, you say the blessing in the Mishnah. Bim bechutz la'aretz, u'mivarech shakar akum mimakom hazeh. And if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, you say, blessed are you, Lord our God, who uprooted Abu Dazra from this place. You don't say Eretz Yisrael, you say from this place. And it's based on the Gemara that we just saw. The Gemara that we just saw in the Tosefta. Right, the Teresta had said that you don't have to say the third part of the bracha in Chutz La'aretz, which implies you do have to say the first two parts in Chutz La'aretz. But since the wording of it was Artseinu, the Rambam says you have to change that, because that doesn't apply to Chutz La'aretz. But the clear implication of the bright is that you have to say it even in Chutz La'aretz. So the Rambam just gives us the different nusach, the different wording of the bracha in Chutz La'aretz.
So could you say he seems to hold like the last? He seems to hold like Af b'Chutz La'aretz v'ich lomar kein mipnei sh'atidim
l'hitgayer. Wait a second, read the next line. Va'omer b'shtehen, and in both cases, in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, you add to the blessing the following line: Keshem shakata mimakom hazeh, kach ta'ak. Care mikol mikomot. So you should uproot it from all places. V'tashiv leiv ovdehem lovdecha, and please return their hearts to your worship. So the Rambam holds like again for Tanakama, right? He holds like Rabban Shimon ben Elazar, which gives us the implication that the vision for the future is not just that we want all idol worshippers to leave behind their idols. We actually want them to come to the worship of the one God.
which is...
fits in nicely with the worldview.
That's what it could be. It certainly could be. And the Rambam here is paskening like a dat yachid against the Tanakama. Right?
Giving even more credence to the strength.
Okay. This is very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just look at the Shulchan Aruch. So there's a lot of material in the Shulchan Aruch. We can't look at it all, of course. I photostated from Siman Resh Yud Chet in Chelek Or HaChaim, and the first word is on the bottom of the last page. I just wrote it in the top. Haroeh, right? Haroeh makom shenasa nes liyachid eino mevarech aval hu atzmo mevarech shasa li nes b'makom hazeh. Translation: he who sees a place where was done a miracle for an individual doesn't say a blessing. And if I came to a place that was done a miracle for you, and I'm not you, I don't say the blessing. Aval hu atzmo mevarech, but he himself does say a blessing. If you came to a place that you had the miracle done for you, then you mevarech shasa li nes b'makom hazeh. Right. So if anyone has such an experience in their life, whether it might be it's a traffic accident or something, or a terrible disease, or I don't know, a Ferris wheel that got a mudslide. Whenever you go back to that place, you say this bracha.
And the nusach can be, the Gemara indicates that the nusach of the bracha can be adapted to the specific.
Yeah, that was the Gemara, but here in the Shulchan Aruch it just says shasali nisma makom hazeh.
It makes it standard.
Right. V'chol yotze yericho gam kein mivrachin. And all of his descendants also say a bracha. Mm-hmm. Right? Not just the Yechid, but his children. And the bracha is shasa nes lavi.
Is there a makor for that?
Of course there is. It's not in the Gemara. I can't remember where it is.
Okay.
So if you have a place where your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather,
yeah, we watched a film here a few years ago, Hiding and Seeking, about a man who tries to educate his children as to the bigger world. I think you were
just
here.
Just in that corner, right?
Right, so when the children are with the father who shows them where their grandfather was saved under a pile of hay in Poland during World War II, the boys are changing by that point in the film, and they realize that they have to say a bracha because a miracle was performed for their grandfather right on the place they were standing on. Mm. So that's an example of that, right? The ancestors.
Now I'm thinking, what happens when I visit Ellis Island? Can I say a bracha there?
No miracle was performed
specifically
on Ellis Island.
Well, in the sense that our forefathers were allowed into this country. Were they not allowed into this country,
they would have been killed.
Yeah.
Seems like
it's not Dafka a miracle.
Or maybe it was issuing the visa in Europe.
Right.
But I think it is a miracle because
or the port where they
I wouldn't disagree.
From 1880 to 1914, I think 2 million Jews came here. And had they not, it would have been Europe.
Yeah.
Not just 1914.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's 2 million between those years.
Mm-hmm. Look, the next halakha.
Sifav.
Al Neshel Rabo Surich Levarech Kishem Shumvrech Al Neshel Aviv. Right? On the Nes of your teacher, you have to say a bracha, just like a Nes of your father. Right? There's a general principle that your Rav Muvhak, the Rav you learn most of your Torah from, has a lot of dinim like your father, as far as Kavod goes and other things. So if you come to a place...
So,
Shasa
Nes Lavi, just like your father?
No, Shasa Nes Le Rabbi, the Makom Hazeh. Baruch Shasa Nes L'Rabim HaMakum Hazeh. There's an interesting opinion in the Ramah who says, Haga Yeshomim Dohu Adin Imroe HaAdam Shnasa Lo HaNes Mevarech Alav Kamo Shemevarech Ala Makom Shnasa Bo HaNes. So there are those who say that if you see a person that was done from a nes, you say the bracha when you see the person. Awesome. You see a person that a nes done for them, so you say Baruch Baruch Shasa Nes LaAdam Hazeh.
Abu Darham, what is it?
Abu Draham.
Abu Draham.
The Spanish commentator on the Sidur in the 14th century.
So that's the core for this.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. We turn the page. And now we're going to look at Halakha at Seif Tet. And this is an issue that some of you brought up earlier. Yesh Umrim, say no mevarech al nes, ela b'nei shehu yotzei miminhag ha'olam. Aval nei shehu minhag ha'olam v'toldat Toldato kagon shabau ganavim balaila ubal yedei sakana v'nitzol v'chayotze v'zeh eino chayav levarech v'yesh cholek v'tov levarech v'lo hazkarat shemo malchut. We'll go back and translate beginning of Tet. There are those who say that you don't say a blessing on a miracle except if it's a miracle that is beyond the framework of nature. Yotzei mimin ha'golam. Aval neshu min ha'golam. But a nes that happens in the framework of nature and its continuation. For example, if the thieves came at night and you were in danger and you were saved and similar things, heino chayav levarech, you don't have to say a bracha. V'yesh cholek, but there are those who argue that say you should say a bracha even if it's in the framework of nature. And therefore, since there's a difference of opinion, Tov Levrech Belo Haskarat Shem Malchut. And therefore, since there's a difference of opinion, if you do have a nes done to you that's Min Hagolam, you should say the bracha, but without the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just say Baruch.
I've got a question. You know, people say a blessing.
Hagomel.
That's mentioning, that's the full blessing.
Birkat HaGomel, right. So there is a separate thing. The Gemara says you should say Birkat HaGomel in four situations. Someone who got out of prison, someone who was sick and got better, someone who went through the desert, and the fourth one is?
The sea. Is it a voyage on the sea?
Flying over a large body of water, specifically the sea?
The sea.
Yeah. That's why you don't say it on a domestic
prison,
flight.
I said, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So that's right. That's a separate category of saying Birkat HaGomel. And that clearly is even if it's not outside of the framework of nature. Right? But as far as this bracha, there's a machloket. Okay. So I wanted to see the Mishnah Berurah on the opinion of the Yesh Cholek, those who say you say the bracha even on something that stays within the framework of nature. So the Mishnah Berurah says on the page we're on now, the one that has Mishnah Berurah in brackets right over here, Lamed Bet. Lamed Bet.
Yesh Cholek.
Yesh Cholek. Defilu haya ha-hatzala shelo lamala miderech ha-teva, that even if the salvation was not above the way of nature, afal pi chen, even such, kevan shayav ha-sakana, since he was in danger, imon is the menlo ha-tzala, if didn't occasion him this salvation, nes mikre, it's a miracle called. V'chayav lo dot v'lishabeach l'bore. And he has to give thanks and praise to the Creator. Al shichin v'izmin lo hatzala berega zo. That he brought for him and he occasioned him the salvation at this moment. Im nafal alav evin chiyotze b'zeh, if fell upon him a stone like a big rock. You mentioned the mudslide earlier, right? And similar things. O shavar alav agala tuna, or he is run over by a full wagon.
That's getting hit, run over by a car.
Right. Shebederech hatev haya shiyamut al yedei zeh, that by way of nature you would normally die from such a thing. V'u nitzol mimitani, he was saved from death. Shiyagia lo tomakom mishloshim leshloshim tzrich lerech. When he comes to that same place from 30 to 30, in other words, after 30 days have passed, they have to say the bracha. Bim nafal even samuch l'rosho. And if a rock fell near his head, o nitka barzel samuch leino, or came, you know, a metal spear near his eye, when asalo nes, and a miracle was done, v'lo nafal even al rosho, and the stone didn't fall on his head, v'lo nitka barzel b'ayin mamash, and the spear or the metal didn't go into his eye directly. According to the first opinion, you don't say a bracha. According to the second opinion, it's possible that we say a bracha. Ki chol adam shekarov ledavar sheyesh bo sakana v'nitzol v'varech. Because according to the second opinion, every person that's close to the thing that has danger and he's saved, mivarech. Valkein yivarech b'lo shem malchut. And he should say the blessing without the mention of God's name, because it's a machloket. Vayein b'diur halacha. And look up what I wrote in the Biur halacha. Katvu achronim, and achronim wrote, Mishana salo neson who had a nes done from yesh lelafrish staka. He should give some staka. Vi hasagat yado, according to the ability of his hand. V'yichalek lelom deit, and he should give it out to Torah students. Yomar, harini noten zet staka. Behold, I'm giving this staka. V'yehi ratzon shehei nechshav v'makom toda. And it should be considered as if I brought a korban toda. Shaiti chayav bizman ha-mikdash. That I would have been obligated to bring had it been in the time of the mikdash. Rui lomar parshat toda. You should say the parshat toda. You should say the paragraph in the Torah that mentions the korban toda. And it's also a good idea to litaken sarchei rabim beir. In other words, devote yourself to fixing some public works project, like buying a new air conditioning for the synagogue or something. Ubechol shana biyom ze yitboded laudot l'Hashem yitbarach lismoach l'saper chasto. And every year you should dedicate this time to making a little lehodot, to thank God, and to be happy, and to mention the wonders that were done for you.
Some people make a suda for that.
A suda. Mm-hmm.
In the Sephardic community.
Right.
The first part, when it said that the rock fell on him, is that talking about if it fell on his head? Because the second part says if it came close to his head.
Right. Even if it just came close to his head, according to the second opinion, that even the Derech HaTeva, you say a bracha, so you say the bracha when you come back to the place where it happened. But again, we paskin that you say the bracha without Shema Malchut. Because in deference to the opinion that says, you only say the bracha for things that were done lemala, Derech HaTeva, beyond the course of nature. Yeah. So we're going to end with the last page here, which is going to be a matter of Avodah Zarah. This is the Shulchan Aruch again.
Is there an obligation to make a Sidus Adah?
Is there an obligation? No.
No.
Oh, I see I put the bracket here in the wrong place. I should have put the bracket in bet, I think is what I meant. Yeah, I should have put the bracket in bet. I should put it in gimel by mistake. Haroe makom shenekrav odat kochavim. Im hu be'eretz Yisrael omer baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam shakar avodat kochavim me'artzeinu. Im hu bechutz la'aretz omer shakar avodat kochavim me'makom hazeh. Just like the Rambam. For Meir Bishtehen, and he says in both cases, Kashem Shakarta Ota Mimakom Azeh, Kein Te'akor Ota, Kein Te'akor Ota, Mikola Mikomot, Ve'shev Lev Ovdehem Lovdecha. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rambam, that we do mention, even in the case of Chutz Laretz, which is Goyim,
that we wish for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring them back to not just to stay away from Avodah Zarah, but actually to bring them back to the true worship. Yeah. That's all. That's all. So, I have a big question on all this, and I looked in the poskim and I didn't find an answer. Does this apply today? What I mean is, does it apply concerning Christianity? Right? If you go to a church, take it back. Yeah, it happens to me every morning. Every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, I drive to Shari Tefillah, and at that hour, there are hundreds of cars coming into the parking lot of the Preston Wood Church of Christ on
Preston.
And it's clearly a case that you see Avodah Zarah. Sorry, you see Christianity thriving, right?
Because of the Mehiri. Yes, but the Mehiri.
Right. So, do I say the Bracha?
According to the Mehiri, you wouldn't.
So you say, it depends on the question, is Christianity idolatry or not? Okay. And I'll say the same question, what about when I see a church that burned down? Let's say I see a church that burned down, it got hit by lightning, right? So I say the Bracha that says, Baruch Shakar, Avodah Zarah Miyamakom Hazeh. You'll say the same thing. Depends on the fact, is it Avodah Zarah or not? So I'll tell you on the tip of the fork, it's a big sugya. Is Christianity idolatry? Right? So to make a long story short, the Ashkenazi poskim seem to paskin that the answer is maybe. That there's a gray area between monotheism and idolatry. And basically what the post-scheme talk about is a category that's between the two, between idolatry and monotheism. It's called shituf. Shituf basically means cooperation. Or to be more, to explain what I mean, it's when you believe in one God, but say that one God has assistance, has helpers. There's only one. There's not different competing forces. There's only one force. But there's shituf, this cooperation between that force and other minor forces. Say the poskim, wait a second. Christianity is in the category of shituf. It's not idolatry, and it's not idolatry. It's in the middle. What does it mean in the middle? So the way the poskim say it is that shituf, being a gray area, is forbidden for Jews, but it's not forbidden for non-Jews. In other words, Judaism has a more severe definition of idolatry than is the definition for the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Then the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach that says don't worship idolatry, you're allowed to worship Shituf. You're allowed to be Christian and that's fine. But for a Jew, that type of worship is idolatry. So what would come out from all this? What would come out is the following. Since the brachot we're talking about say that God, thank you for not zapping idolatry. Thank you for your patience in letting them be chozer b'tshuvah. If that's the meaning of the bracha, well, it wouldn't apply to Christianity because we say it's allowed for them. If it's allowed for them, that God's not showing any patience, it's simply allowed. So we wouldn't say the bracha of Orech Apayim. I assume, therefore, we also wouldn't say the bracha of Oker Avodah Zarah, because for them it's not Avodah Zarah. In other words, if I see a church that burned down, I won't say, yippee, a church burned down, idolatry has been eradicated to a certain degree, because for them it's not idolatry. For me it's forbidden, but for them it's allowed, it's good, it's fine. It's in the framework. It's in the framework of Shav Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So what I'm doing is I'm applying the categories of idolatry as they developed in Yoreh Deah in the Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of idolatry, and I'm applying them here. And I'm telling you it would seem to be the conclusion. Except that the poskim alatar, the poskim talk here, don't say what I just said. They say the opposite. All the poskim say, just the opposite of what I just said, all the poskim say that we don't say the bracha of Orech HaPayim whenever we walk by a church, not because of what I said, because it doesn't apply, but the poskim say we don't say it because it applies too much. What do they mean? They say we'd have to say it every 5 minutes. And so we can't say it every 5 minutes, and nowadays we're accustomed not to say it. In other words, what I'm telling you is that what seems to be the assumption of all the poskim is that this does apply to Christianity. But we don't say it because we don't have enough time all day to say this bracha 15 million times a day. So I am left with a question. I really don't know what to do. I seem to see a contradiction in the poskim here and the poskim in Yorei Deah.
You're not talking along Sephardic Ashkenazic lines that you're
talking
about.
I'm talking just among Ashkenazim.
Ashkenazi poskim
that were accustomed to Christianity.
Right.
And they all seem to say that the bracha applies to them, but just don't do it because there's too many churches. We don't have time to waste our time and so many brachot for them.
Once and have it apply, like the first church you say, and then just have it apply.
They discuss the possibility. Perhaps you should say it when you're bar mitzvah the first time. But they say, no, you're already used to seeing churches for so long that it's meaningless.
Yeah.
So I'm really confused. I'm going to try and spend time.
So what doesn't this have to do with like a problem they had a long time ago in the Middle Ages about how to deal with the living in the Christian world?
Yes, there are historians
who
say that the
said we couldn't call their religion Avodah Zarah, and there was a big.
There are historians that say that Shituf, that the development of the category of Shituf was a result of
economic pressures.
Whatever, but it doesn't matter because halakhically it's on the books.
Down the street saying these blessings because they say, what are you saying when you walk by our church? And they nail you up on the wall there until you told them what you were saying.
It comes to Pekuach Nefesh.
Right.
And also this idea of Shituf, you said, was you believe in one God but also minor helpers. But we have that concept also in Judaism.
Ooh,
we have this idea of like, you know, constellations having some kind of control, or the stars, or even malachim, like with angels, things like that. These are minor helpers as well that we see in our
theology.
Yes, so there are some people who make an effort not to say those filot.
Ah, yeah, like the Gra.
Like the Gra, and like rationalist briskers.
Rambam.
Yeah, actually you see in some Siddurim that they say in the Machzor of Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, there are some that don't say these tefillot because they are possibly idolatrous.
And also, do you say Orach HaPaim over Messianic Shul?
Why not?
Because you said, right.
No,
they,
seriously.
Yeah.
Most of the
if
people
majority are Jewish.
If they're Jewish.
There are probably some Jews there that are not probably there.
There are definitely.
Yeah.
Depends on the location, according to Rabbi Scopa.
It's on Beltline in Mexico.
So, I mean, I think that's because you said that we are held to a higher standard. So
yeah,
for
that's Baruch Hashem, right? The Baruch Hashem on Beltline.
Hmm. You said Baruch Hashem in Mexico.
Now, the Safari.
Wait a second. So, should you say this Baruch Hashem?
Messianic. It has the dean of the church, but they're Jewish, that's the difference, but not all of them are Jewish.
Well, but they claim to be Jewish, and they claim it's a shul, so...
And their agenda is to convert Jews to them.
Okay, I can ask the question here. I can ask my posek. It's very interesting. Okay, more questions?
Well, how would this... So the Sephardic poskim for the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, it's pretty clear that Christianity is idolatry,
that's it.
But do you find that among other Sephardic poskim as well, who are not living in the Christian world?
I'm not qualified to say. I spent a long time last night looking on Perek Teshuta, the Bar Ilan program, any response that dealt with this. I didn't find anything.
Rav Avadia.
Didn't find anything. I'll look again. Very interesting.
We learned that a place that it was already destroyed, there we say that the bracha of Orach HaPayim.
No, the place where it exists.
That it hasn't been destroyed.
Yeah.
Not as patience.
The Mishnah didn't mention the bracha of Orach HaPayim at all. That was just in Tosefta.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for today. A lot of questions, a lot of interesting stuff.
On a historical note, why did they throw stones at that statue? or as like, why did they say that?
That you have to look up in the history of idolatry.
I think it's reverse psychology. It's like everybody's been throwing stones at the statue because they don't like it. We're gonna make it the way you worship it.
I don't know.
The next person throws.